Let us pray. Father, indeed, we need you every hour, every minute, every second. We pray that not just we speak, but we need you to open our eyes, teach us how to speak your words, and teach us how to listen to your words. So we commit ourselves before you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We know God has a plan in his heart when he created heaven and earth. So in Genesis, we saw that God created heaven and earth. But that's just the beginning. And in the end, God, we can see in the last two chapters, new heaven, new earth, new bride. And in fact, God dwells with man. We can say new man. So throughout the history, or throughout the whole Bible, we can see God is working towards his purpose. Not just creation, but he is going to form a new heaven and a new earth. There's a project going on. God is continuously working day by day, year by year, throughout history. Recently, I got some renovation at my house. All these workmen comes, and they have different tools. At different stage, they use different tools. Sometimes they use a drill or a hammer, a screwdriver, or a paintbrush. At different stage in the work, God used different people. So when we look at the history in the Bible, we saw at different stage, God called Abraham, God called Moses to do his work at that period of time. God called David. And today, I will continue to talk about Elijah, a prophet, a very prominent prophet. When we studied the history of Israel, we can see God called priests, and they have to equip themselves or wear the right apparel to serve God. So there are requirements for the priests to bring people to a holy God. And there are requirements for a king, how to govern God's kingdom. Now, how about a prophet? So we know in the Old Testament, there are three ministries that needs anointing from God. Priest, king, and prophet. And very special about Elijah, God told us a lot about his ministry. So it's not just interesting, but God is trying to tell us something. God needs a prophet at that period of time. Then we should think about more. How about us? God put us here. God put us here in 2024. What is our mission in 2024? Now, when we look back, we know Elijah was in the time of the divided kingdom. We talk about Solomon in the end, near the latter part of his life, he starts to worship idol. So God divided the kingdom. So in 933 BC, we go to next point. We see the kingdom divided into two parts. The south is Judah, the north is Israel, in 933 BC. So this part is about divided kingdom. After the kingdom divided, how about Israel? In the kingdom of Israel, the first king is Jeroboam. So after about 60 or 70 years, the seventh king in the northern kingdom is Ahab. He married a wife, Jezebel. And they both worshipped idols. So in that part of the kingdom, at that time, full of idols, full of many false gods. They even think Jehovah, they worship Jehovah, by going to Dan and Bethel to worship the golden calf there. So people have got a not clear idea how to worship the true God and who is the true God. So this is why God called Elijah, the prophet. The prophet ministry is to speak out for God, to deliver his message to his people. So now we know the background. The background is in a divided kingdom. God's people are getting confused. They don't know who is the real God. So God called Elijah. His ministry is telling people who the real God is. So let's think about Elijah. Last time I mentioned about, we go to the next page. Last time we talked about the meaning of the name Elijah. The Eli is God. Jehovah, Jah is at the back. So Jehovah is God. So his ministry, or we can say all his miracles performed, is not to show how good he is, but he wants to tell the people, Jehovah is the real God. Not Baal or Baal, I don't know, B-A-A-L, someone pronounced it differently. Or all those idols, they are not true God. Jehovah is the real God. And his message is the same, simple. Jehovah is God. All the miracles. So when we look at a prophet, we think mainly of his message, what he said. But it's more than that. When God called someone to speak for him, we look at next page, your life must be consistent with your message. So it's not just something you talk, not just the message you speak, and in another moment, you live a different life. So it's not something easy. Think about Sunday school. You may be a Sunday school teacher or helper. But your life must be consistent with your message. So may God help us. It's not easy thing. I feel trembled sometimes when I need to speak because I realize how weak I am. But God telling me my life must be consistent with my message. May God help us, guide us, protect us. So his not just a simple thing to, you know, you ask someone to deliver a message, it's so simple. Send a message. We can ask the angel to deliver a message, but God wants a man to deliver his message. Actually, that's very meaningful. When we think of Jesus, he's the priest, high priest, he's the king, and he's the prophet of God. And remember our identity? In New Testament, it speaks of our, we have royal priesthood, isn't it? And we have to let people see God in our lives. So God has never changed. God still wants each and every one of us to live out this reality. Our life must be consistent with our message. So last time we talked about, next. So his ministry is about Jehovah, his God. So God is training him. Not just you can tell people this message, but your life. How did God train him? God asked him to wait at brook after he proclaimed, oh, there will be a drought until I prayed. And then God asked him, go and wait at brook Cherith. And at there, the ravens will feed you. So he has to learn how to trust God, obey him, remain there. Even though there's nothing, no one there, just the ravens. And God did not say, wait there for 2 months. No, God didn't say anything. Continue to wait day by day by day by day. Patience. Why? Because Jehovah is God. That's why we need to have trust in him. Because Jehovah is God, that's why we have to obey him. Because Jehovah is God, that's why he needs to have patience. God is training him. And God is training you and me day by day because Jehovah is God. And afterwards, God sent him to dwell with a widow. Wow, a widow? A Gentile? I'm a great prophet. Then he has to learn humble himself. And after that, when you dwell with the widow, actually, it seems the widow is supporting you, but you are bringing blessing to that widow. So in next point, we realize that he can experience, God can provide flour and oil continuously in this little vessel. So all this training for him is preparing him to let him know Jehovah is God. So God is training you every day, training me every day, maybe in your work, in your study, in your walk with him. We can experience him. He can provide. And God is faithful. And after that, we go to number four, which is raising the dead. And that widow, the only son, died. And after the prayer of Elijah, he can raise the dead boy. So he has to experience, even in there's no hope circumstances, God rules because Jehovah is God. So he has to experience the resurrecting power of God. So he is learning quite well, lesson by lesson. He's a good student, learning a lot before the Lord. Next part, God then asked him, go and meet Ahab, the evil king, who has been seeking his life. And now he has the courage to face the enemy face to face. He needs courage to face his fear. And indeed, he did. And after that, in the Mount Carmel, there are great miracles performed. And the prophets of Baal, there are 450. The prophets of Asherah, 400. So he gathered as if there's a challenge on the Mount Carmel. 850 prophets, false prophets, and Elijah. 850 against one. They all pray to their God, and God sent fire come down to burn all the sacrifice. Wow, at that time, such a glorious moment in his ministry. And you know what happened? The people say, what did the people say at that time? The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Wow, such successful ministry. If I were Elijah, wow, such a glorious moment. Fire comes down. And he killed, and he ordered to kill 850 enemies, the false prophets. Such a glorious victory. Jehovah is God. His message is, the Lord. The people can respond to him, the Lord. He is God, the Lord, he is God. So successful. It seems the people now realize the Lord is God. The king now realize he's God. But when the king told the evil wife, Jezebel, Jezebel got angry. Wow, this Elijah killed all my prophets. I swear by my God, by this time tomorrow, I'll kill you. After hearing that, Jezebel's threat, what did he do? Last time we talked about he ran for his life in fear. Now, if you were Elijah, there's something in your heart. What's wrong? What happened? Such a glorious victory. Fire comes down from heaven, and I pray, rain comes down. And all the people are proclaiming, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. Even the king realized that. How come there's such a stupid woman still be the enemy and try to kill me? What's wrong? It seems suddenly his whole faith collapsed. He was so strong, so confident before the people. I think of the wall of Jericho is so strong. Suddenly collapsed. Then I think, what happened to you? Elijah, what happens to you? How come you were so strong, so confident? Now you ran for your life? We were wondering, what happened to Elijah? And Elijah must be wondering, what happens to Ahab? Why don't you say something? Be a man. Tell your wife. What happens to the people? Just now you are saying the Lord, He is God. Why don't you protest? Why don't you put down the Jezebel, evil Jezebel? What happens to the people? What happens to the king? What's wrong with you, Jezebel? Can't you see? I can call down fire. I can call down rain. I can call down thunder on you. And now you try to kill me. And what happens to you, God? Why don't you do something about this? And you were silent. Now, what can I do? That may be something in his mind. And not just what. Now, that evil queen was trying to kill me. Where can I go? He went into the wilderness. Nowhere to go. Then he keep thinking, why does all this happen? Next. It must be in his heart. Why? What's wrong? I must go and find God to tell me what should I do next? Where should I go? What's wrong? Why? Give me a reason why. So instead of all this, as if God is silent there, nothing changes, totally unexpected. The only way to go as if to find God himself. So the story continues today from 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4 to 8. When he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, ran away from the persecution, and came and sat down under a broom tree, so tired, and he prayed that he might die. Totally disappointment. Disappointment with the situation. No hope. No future. I can't see what I can do. So he wants to die and said, it is enough. This enough, this word in Hebrew, can in some other places, it means a great number. It is too much, too many. Do you feel sometimes like this? This is too much. I can't stand it any longer. Oh, this annoying person. I can't stand him any longer. This is too much. This is enough. So often we feel, this is enough. This is enough. We can't stand anymore. We can't see any way out. Lord, take my life. I'm no better than my father's. So discouraged, give up, totally give up. And that's like a spoiled child throw a tantrum. I'm not happy. I want to die. This is Elijah. Suddenly I think of Jonah. He seems to be something like him, isn't it? And maybe like you or me. I'm not happy. This is too much. God, you're silent. Why don't you do something? Why don't you tell them something? I'm not happy. And we got grumpy. But then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Wow, God sent an angel. If God sent me an angel, if I were the angel, God, should I slap him? He need discipline. This spoiled child, look at this Elijah. He was so grumpy, look at him. But God said, arise and eat. Now we can see a very unhappy prophet, but see, we can see a very patient God just like a mother being so patient with a spoiled child. Arise. God wants to restore him. But at that stage, he was so hungry and tired. So what he first needs is food. So arise and eat. And he looked, and thereby his head, a cake baked on coals. Wow, warm food. And a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And second time, and the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So instead of God rebuking him, punishing him, God is very patient with him. Now we can see a very beautiful God here, so understanding. If we are genuine to serve him, even though we have made mistakes, we need correction, but God is still so gentle with us. Arise and eat, two times. And for that amount of food, he ate and drank, and he went in strength for the food 40 days and 40 nights. 40 in the Bible means of trial. So with his supply, he can bear the trial. He can finish the journey. So we, even though we are no good, we may be grumpy and angry with God, but God still shows mercy and grace to us until we can finish the journey. And where did he go? Now remember Jonah, when he got angry or not happy with his mission, he went away from God. But Elijah, no, I want to see God. I want to ask him. So he went to see God. So he went to Horeb, the Mount of God. Actually, it's sometimes called the Mount of Sinai. Now, if you remember, in Mount Sinai, God first appeared to the Israelites in Exodus chapter 19. When God appeared to his people, oh, the scene was horrifying. Let's go further down. Into the Mount of Sinai. What happened there? What happened there? And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? If you were God, what would you say to him? Why are you here? You are not supposed to be here. I will rebuke him. Aren't you supposed to remain in Israel? Did I ask you to come? Did I give you command? Did I order you to come? You shouldn't be here, I would say very frankly. But God, being so kind, is just trying to help him to realize his fault. What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? So God is being so gentle. We have such a kind God, so gentle to him. Nothing. I came to challenge you. No, he did not say that. So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. Bracket, which means, I've been totally committed for you, Lord. This is his feeling. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. Your. They have done the wrong thing to you. I'm so concerned with you. And now what happens? I alone am left. Look! So something not spoken is, don't you realize what you have done, God? Israel have been doing all this wrong thing, and you have not punished them enough. And now I've been so committed, genuinely trying to serve you, and you do not send me any help. I alone am left. And they seek to take my life. Can you see that? Do you realize that? You are all-knowing God. Can't you see how the difficulty I am? Of course, he dare not speak like this, but in his heart, or maybe in my heart, I speak for him like that. So often we complain to God, can't you see how good I am, how wrong they are, and you are doing nothing? Punish them. Help me. I'm alone. Very grumpy. Then he said, God said to him, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces. Now, have you ever seen strong wind that can break the rocks into pieces? I have seen strong winds, but can never break a rock. So strong, such wind, this must be very spectacular. You can imagine, the whirlwind. I can't imagine. But notice the words it says, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. I don't know what's the degree or the gratitude of the earthquake, but it must be strong. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. But the Lord was not in the wind, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Next. And after the earthquake, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Now, if you remember at Mount Sinai, if we read Exodus in chapter 19, it's not only earthquake, but also thunder, lightning, trumpet. All this spectacular must be all the people trembling because all such phenomenon. But in here, the same place. Many, many years ago, Moses was there, all the Israelites gathered there, they are trembling. But now, we may expect God will speak out. Such a powerful, strong God will appear in the earthquake, in the fire, in the lightning. But God has his own way. Sometimes God do things totally unexpected for us. We have some preconceived ideas. We have some assumption. Oh, if we listen to that great preacher at such a glorious evangelical meeting, so many thousands of people believe. If he is there, he will definitely turn to the Lord. We may expect something spectacular, awesome, and then God, as if shouting to the people. Yet, God is telling Elijah, you expect me to use thunder? You expect me to use lightning, strong wind? I can be very quiet. I can use a small voice. So, even a small voice, God is there. You may want God to change the environment. Shattered everybody. But sometimes God do it in a very different way. He uses a small voice to speak to you. You may think, oh, I have to go to a conference to listen. Then God will speak to me. But sometimes in the morning, when you're reading the Bible, God may speak to you in a small voice. And God is there. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped in his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, arise and eat. God has spoken two times. In here, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Sometimes God, because we are so stubborn, sometimes God has to ask us again and again. and again. Can you hear God's voice speaks to you? I heard that before. But God needs to speak to you again and again, because we may never change. You see how he replied? Basically, it's the same words. Same questions, same answer. Same question, same answer. I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altar, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. He still insists. This is still in his heart. Oh, it's a reflection of us. We are so stubborn. God has to speak to us again and again. So don't blame Elijah. In James 5:17, it says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. So he is a great prophet. He is well honored among Israelites. Don't look down upon him, because he's a nature like ours. He has weakness. He has assumption when he served the Lord. I assumed when I have done everything right, when I have learned all the lesson, I learned how to be humble, I learned how to trust and obey, I've learned all my lesson, and God, when you have demonstrated your power, sending fire and sending rain, people all will bow to you. But in fact, no. So discouraged, because he put his faith on the power. He thinks the power can change people. Remember the Lord Jesus. He has worked a lot of miracles, yet people do not believe in him. He resurrected from the dead. People still do not believe in him. So even it's not about you. You may be learning very well. Even God has demonstrated his power through you. But the outcome is not in your hand. People can still reject God. Jezebel can still be rebellious. So a prophet has to learn to be Jehovah is God. I serve him. I follow his words. And my faith is not on the result or the outcome. If I expect every people will now serve the Lord, if the people rejected the Lord, oh, then I stumbled. No. I serve the Lord. Faithful to him, people accept my words or rejected my words, it's not in my hand. I have to learn to be faithful. People can reject you. You share the gospel with your friends, they make fun of you. But would you still, if they reject me, I won't share with them anymore? Then you are seeing the result. We are not serving God. So I think God has been very faithful to him, trying to restore him. So with Elijah, we can see there's a very kind, understanding God with mercy, patience with his servants, which we have so much shortcoming, weaknesses. We are so stubborn, so self-righteous. So much self-pity. I'm the only one left. I am the only one. No one help me. So self-focused, self-pity. But what did God say to him? You are fired. Go home. I don't want to see your face. No, God did not say that. Let's see what God replied to him next. Then the Lord said to him, go return on your way, not to go home, still continue your work. God is restoring him. God did not say, "Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about you. I totally forgot about you." No, God doesn't have to apologize. God knows what is going on. And God just gave him command. As if nothing happened, continue your work. Restore his ministry. Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel, you shall anoint him as prophet in your place. So, let me think. God still asked him to anoint him. Not just focusing on the past. See, God is still working ahead. People rejecting him, then God has to go into another stage. There is a journey going on. There is a mission going on. God is restoring him for his work. Anoint Jehu. God is working. Not, "Oh, too bad, I got nothing to do, I can't do anything." Nope, God is still working. Anoint Jehu, Elisha. By doing this, I think Elijah would realize, yes, God is on the throne. God is still in charge. Even though we are so stubborn, like a child throwing a tantrum. But God is still on the throne. He has mercy with his people, and God is still working. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. So God is executing the judgment. People reject God. God has patience. God is planning. Try to deliver his people. But God in here corrected him. You think you are alone? Wrong. Even more than you remember before that, someone mentioned to him, "Oh, I have saved 100 prophets." But it's more than 100 plus one. It's in here, it says, "I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him." So you are not alone. When sometimes we feel we are alone, God, you're not helping. You are not alone. God is still working. Come up, rise up, serve him. So may God help us. He would like to restore us, even though we tremble and stumble and fell. But God is willing to raise us up, to restore us. Arise and eat. God's grace is sufficient for us so that we can continue to serve him. So our hope is not built on how successful our work is. Our hope is built on nothing less but the blood and righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us sing, "My hope is built on nothing less."
Yeah.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We can see in the lives of Elijah, you want him to have the reality that his life can show you are God. We pray that our life can also be consistent with our message. We pray, we ask for your help. Yes, we have many weaknesses and shortcomings, and yet you are such a patient, loving, full of mercy God that is willing to correct us, to bear with us, teach us, and guide us, and restore us when we are weak. You will restore us to serve you, God. We thank you, not because we are good, but because of Christ. We want to put our trust in you and not on the outcome of our ministry. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.